Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
The subject matter this morning is difficult because it's affecting all of us and not in a good way. But I want you to know something from the outset. I love you. And when I say that, I mean that. I'm going to take you into areas that, frankly, some of you will anger. And I'm not trying to make you angry. I don't enjoy angering people because I love people. I'm in ministry. And the minute we stop liking people, it's time to take a break. Have you ever said to yourself, Pastor, church would be great if it weren't for the people? And when you get to that point, it's time to take a break. And I'm not at that place. I love you, but I'm going to take you to some dark places because we're all affected. But I'm going to provide what I believe God has given me in terms of solutions. And so let's get started. Leave all that stuff. I'm just kidding. I specialize in digital addiction, and I'm very privileged to be on a research team in Pastor Alex's and Naomi's homeland of South Africa at the University of South Africa in their Bureau of Market Research and its neuroscience division. And so what I do is travel the world and preach, but the scientific side of what I do is just research and from a neuroscience point of view about digital addiction. And so this particular book has to do with that subject. And the cover comes from neuroscience. When you look at the brain scans, many of you have been in an MRI. Now, if you've ever had to put the helmet on, if you've had anything wrong with the brain, they may have scanned your brain a number of ways, but they may have put a helmet on you and put you in there. It becomes a functional MRI, and it makes it really fast. You can see things in real time. But you can see what's going on in the brain. When you look at a cocaine addict's brain, and you look at the brains of people who have crossed over into digital addiction, those brain scans are nearly identical. It's not a metaphor, in other words. And one of the biggest challenges that we have is trying to convince people that, you know, we toss out the word addicted. I'm addicted to pie. I'm addicted to grandma's pecan pie or whatever. And I understand that. It's sort of like the word love. It can mean a lot of stuff. You know, you can love your car or you can love your wife, but there's really two different kinds of love there, right? It should be. Americans are really weird with their muscle cars. Sometimes I wonder who they love the most and who they really should have married, but that's beside the point. If you're married to your car, I didn't mean to offend you. I'm just saying. Actually, you need help. Get down here now. But some of the wives are going, get down there. When you look at these scans, I'm not being metaphorical when I say addiction. It is a literal chemical addiction, and I want to walk you through what the neuroscience is showing. Now, it may have confused you just a little bit. I'm credentialed in a Pentecostal movement in Australia. I'm part of a research unit in Africa. I travel to all these places, but I'm an American, and from my accent, I'm a redneck, can't you tell? This is what I want to talk to you about today. One of the biggest and saddest problems that we have and what technology has done to us has made us numb to the things of God. We just don't feel. Nobody's meant to do this. It's been one of the unintended consequences of a tsunami of technology that has swept over the earth, particularly since 2007, when the first iPhone was released and we had the internet in our pocket. Now, the internet's been around for 30 years, but when it was in our pocket, when everybody could carry it around, that's when the real problem started to manifest in great numbers, although some of the research is even older than that because we had the problems then, even with desktop and laptop computers, but it's been the phone. The smartphone that has caused these problems. Medically speaking, anhedonia has been known about for decades. It was first discovered in drug addicts, where they would become numb emotionally to everything except the drug. Because the way it works, if you're doing an activity, have a relationship with a human entity, a pet even, these activities generate the proper amount of stimulation that the brain wants. Now, it all works on this neurotransmitter we'll talk about this morning called dopamine. And the brain needs this much. You need it to learn. It's needed for academics, cognition. But once you taste large quantities of it, you chase it. And stimulation provides it. It can come through cocaine, it can come through heroin, it can come through pornography, it can come through screens in general. And that's where the problem begins. And as you move in this direction with higher and higher amounts of stimulation, everything this way is boring because the stimulation is less. Am I making sense to you? And so that repetitive chasing after the fix causes problems in the brain. And we got a big name for that, and it's called addiction. And I want to walk you through what that looks like. One of the three big manifestations of addiction that was discovered in the drug addicts many, many decades ago is this medical condition called anhedonia, being anhedonic. It was about 11 years ago, I discovered a book by Dr. Archibald Hart, a scientist and clinical psychologist, and he wrote a book called Thrilled to Death. I'll put this cover up on the screen in a little bit so that you can check that book out if you want. He discovered or wrote about it. I'm not sure if he discovered it, but his research in this book showed that that anhedonia, that numbing, that emotional numbing, was turning up in epidemic numbers in children whose parents used devices as babysitters. And that's what I have to reiterate to you, that I did not come here to condemn you, to beat you up with this science. That is not the point. The point is to see freedom. But the problem with freedom is it only comes one way, and it's through the truth. But the scripture tells me to tell the truth, but to love you when I do it. And so I really do mean it when I tell you I care about parents, and I want to equip, and I care about your kids, and I get on really well with the little ones. My heart still melts when I get around babies, and you know, and that's what drives me, is because I know what it's doing to their little brains. But you fell into the same trap that I did. You see, my first degree is in computer science, so it's not like I don't know what this stuff is, nor do I hate it. I mean, I spent a lot of money to be a nerd. And I paid for it 10 years after I got the degree, and the frustrating thing was the degree was outdated before I graduated, because that's how technology works. Worthless. Now, just to show you what I'm talking about, the editor of my book, after I wrote The Dark Side of Technology, I got this reputation from churches. Word started getting around that there's this book called The Dark Side of Technology, but don't have that guy in because he hates technology. Because at that time, they were just starting to integrate projection and all the stuff that we have now. It was just coming into the technology revolution. Everybody was getting all enamored with it. And here I was coming along saying, not so fast. Yes, do it, but not so fast. Let's think through this. And so they said, well, he hates technology. So the editor of my book said, you should probably tell people you have a degree in computer science. Because I didn't want to sound braggy and academic and all that stuff. So I started saying it, and it was suggested, too, that I show you my desk at home. So this is my desk. It shut the gamers up. Because they were like, what's the old guy know about computers? And I say, you little punk, what do you know? You want to debate me? Uh-uh. So it gave me some relief. Because of all the people I deal with, the people who are addicted to porn, they break. Like, oh, no, it's so I'm wrong. And it's easy to help a porn addict, but the gamers go either way. They either break and they're my friend, or they hate me. But I never hate them back, because I understand what addiction does to people. Really bad things to your brain. Even when they're going, like, well, I can't wait to the day that portable scanners come out, because then I'll pull it out of my back pocket and go, you're messed up. I'm serious, and you know I'll do it. Yes, I will, because I'm like that. God made me this way. I bless his name for it. Now, anhedonia. My scripture this morning comes from Ephesians. The church at Ephesus was a very, very carnal church. They had once known the holiness of God, the pneuma of God, the intimacies of God, and they knew him, and they knew the Holy Spirit, but they had drifted and become insensitive to the things of God. Does this sound familiar? This is not the first time we've dealt with this problem, but I will say it is much worse now because we have a lot more people and we have technology that has spread it much quicker. But in dealing with this at the Church of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at the 17th verse, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's always been this tension with us Christians to go back to the world, to be drawn back into it. We were taught properly, we've tasted and seen that He is good, but then the culture and the people we work with, it's just nothing new. God's always pulling at us. Don't go near the darkness. Get over here. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church the same way, trying to get them to come back. Well, now with technology, it has opened up a Pandora's box for us to be drawn away by the culture like never before. But the words of God are still so applicable to right now, because we have lost sensitivity, and we know why. When you see things like this, and this is ubiquitous, it's everywhere. It's culture. We don't even see it. And God is saying, look at this. Their brains, with their heads down constantly, they're with each other, but they are not with each other. Their brains have been hijacked. Their reward circuits have been hijacked by that chemical called dopamine, and their thoughts are only on what is on that screen. Have you ever heard the phrase that technology in and of itself is neutral? It's a lie. It is not neutral at all. Have you ever heard of a company called Dopamine Labs? Dopamine Labs. It's a real place. There are several places like this where they employ neuroscientists, where you take your product in, your technology, your code, if you're a coder, and they work with you to design the imaging of your brand or your code so that you maximize the amount of dopamine that the brain generates so that people get hooked on your brand, your product, your code, your game. Google uses it. This is not an internet conspiracy. Maybe tonight I'll show you video clips from Dopamine Labs explaining it to CNN, what they do. I have way more information than I have time to get out. But would you just trust me if I were to tell you that I can substantiate everything I'm saying? So we have this problem. We're being manipulated. And we don't even know it. When academics see this happening, and parents, they become very amazed. And they go, that child is engaged and focused with that education game. You want to know the truth? Now, do you want to know the truth? The research is clear now. You know why I'm so busy running around the planet? It's because that's a lie. It's their cognition is not going up. The grades, if you really want to know the truth, around the world in technology schools, is going down. You see, if you measure this with a child whose brain is fresh and is not addicted, in the first little bit of the test, they will show improved cognition. And depending on how young they are, the younger they are, it only takes a few minutes before it all comes crashing down because the dopamine becomes too much and interferes with the cognition because addiction sets in. And once addiction sets in, the only thing you can think of is what you're addicted to and nothing else. Am I making sense to you? But the payoff of having this happen is we as adults get our freedom. You get your stuff done. And so your mind, as I'm talking about this, starts to play tricks on you. And you tell yourself, the number one thing that I hear around the world and what I experience, and that is, you believe that your child is the exception to everything I'm going to talk about today. And I love you enough to tell you, your child is not the exception, and I'm talking to you about your child. Because your child's brain has the same limits as every other child, which is about this much, and that's it. Their brains are very fragile, very underdeveloped, and very small. From the time they're 0 to 3 years of age, the brain will triple in size. The sheer amount of development. And between 0 and 11, a lot happens, including the creative side of development. I want to show you something. As I was researching digital cocaine, I wondered, how do the guys and the girls out in Silicon Valley who run everything, develop all of this, how do they raise their children? I bet their homes are equipped with next year's technology, so their child has the edge academically on all the other kids. Would you believe that logically? And so I found this article. It's the only time you'll be blessed by the New York Times. And if you're a liberal, I hope I offended you. Now, I'm in a good church. Pastor also hates cats. How could this get any better? Yeah. You know what we call cats where I'm from? Targets. Somebody had a comfort cat on the plane the other day. And I thought, you need a comfort skunk. I'm thinking of things. Man, I wish you could roll the window down. It's just feet. Never mind. All right. I like what Jeff Foxworthy said. He said, came on the stage and he said, I got two stuffed cats on either side of my fireplace. And the guys were laughing. The women were booing, right? And he goes, oh, come on. Give me some credit. Those things are quick. You got to swerve to hit them. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jeff Foxworthy. I didn't really enjoy it. Okay, I digress. As I was researching on how they raise their children, I came across this article. A Silicon Valley school that doesn't compute. And it's all about where they send their children to school. The chief technology officer of eBay sends his children to a non-classroom school here. So do employees of Silicon Valley giants like Google, Apple, Yahoo, and Hewlett-Packard. But the school's cheap teaching tools are anything but high tech. Pens and paper, knitting needles, and occasionally mud. Not a computer to be found. No screens at all. They're not allowed in the classroom, and the school even frowns on their use at home. Steve Jobs is famous for being a low-tech parent. Nothing shocked me more than something Mr. Jobs said to me in late 2010 after he finished chewing me out for something I'd written about an iPad shortcoming. So your kids must love the iPad, I asked Mr. Jobs, trying to change the subject. They haven't used it. You know why? For all the reasons I'm telling you. They love their children in Silicon Valley. Not yours. Theirs. So they raise their children in a healthy manner. So what I tell the millennials who are very enamored, the fanboys of Apple, Microsoft, if you really love them so much, why don't you raise their children like they do? It's not a secret. Now, you know why it's quiet? It's because you're shocked. You didn't know this. Not everything is as it appears. They want their children's brains to be healthy, and you should want yours to be healthy just like that. Now, the schools that they send them to are a group of schools, a brand of schools called Waldorf Steiner. Anybody familiar with the Steiner system? Any teachers here? I'm not being funny. I don't recommend Steiner. I would recommend that you not choose Steiner. They're an analog group of schools. I've spoken at one. They treated me very well, but it was like being in the Twilight Zone. They are New Age, but what they are is analog, meaning non-digital. They're haptic, tactile, until the age of 12 because of the brain science that I just described to you. So that's where the tech executives send their kids. They let their kids' brains pass through those natural stages of development so that they don't lose their creativity and their common sense and have damage. And then when they're older, they introduce it in the proper amounts, and those kids often go back into the tech industry and make the most money. So I didn't say withhold it forever. But when you understand the sensitivity that a child has in their brain development, and they, many of them obviously do, not all of them, but many of them do, they act on it. They do the right thing. We, as Christians, should care even more. Amen? That's a glimpse into Silicon Valley. I want to show you a video clip from Australia. This is actually from a news program where an American guy by the name of Dr. Nicholas Cardaris is being interviewed. He has an excellent book called Glow Kids. And at the beginning, you're going to see children and teenagers whose devices have been taken away. You're going to see the top three symptoms of digital addiction. So with smoking, it would be lung issues, perhaps emphysema. If it were alcoholism, it would be perhaps cirrhosis of the liver. Cocaine, you'd have paranoia. Marijuana, you'd have slowness and slurred speech, and things like that. The top three symptoms of digital addiction are very similar to cocaine addiction. With digital addiction, the number one symptom is anger. You don't need a scan. All you have to do is take the device away gently and politely from your child. And if the anger and the whinging and the throwing of the fits exists and the begging to get it back, they have digital addiction. The second symptom, there are actually two combined that I find. It is anxiety disorders of various sorts combined with clinical depression. And thirdly, anhedonia, being numbed to lesser stimulating activities, sometimes completely. That said, at the beginning of this, people often, when I show this, they laugh. Because the kids are throwing fits, the teenagers are throwing fits, and on the surface, without understanding its brain damage, I would probably giggle too. So don't think I'm a killjoy here, but I'm trying to set this up so that you will know that brain damage is not funny. And when people manifest things emotionally, it is not funny. Okay? Have a look.
What do you want?
I want an iPad.
Across the globe, frustrated parents are forcing kids to go cold turkey on technology.
Chicken.
Their reactions are not unlike the withdrawal symptoms of a drug addict.
I know addiction when I see it, and I started seeing very clear signs of addiction in children, especially the withdrawal part.
Get it back!
You already lit my iPad ever!
The mood dysregulation, when an addict gets their drug of choice taken away from them.
No iPad.
The temper tantrums, the violent outbursts. We started seeing more and more of those.
How you doing, Dr. May?
Dr. Cardaris runs an addiction clinic in New York. It was exclusively for drug addicts. Now he's seeing more and more screen addicts.
As an addiction psychologist and as a parent, what shocked me the most was the realization that these devices were digital heroin. No different. They were affecting the brain the same as any opiate addiction. It does two things fundamentally. It's hyper-stimulating and hyper-arousing, so it elevates our adrenal response. Same reward schedule as a slot machine. It keeps you playing and playing over and over again to get that dopamine tickle. The screen itself, the rapid screen cuts, the radiant light itself, the hyper-immersive effect is stimulating in a way that television never was. So what it does is it raises our dopamine levels in the way that we want to chase that dopamine effect.
The sounds, it's the achievement. Most of the games are aimed at feeling good when you actually
get to the next level.
Oh, it's always a reward, you it's know, the bright yeah. sparkly lights, happy sound.
Yeah.
This is a brain scan from a chronic heroin addict. Highlighted here is damage to the frontal cortex and surrounding area. It is the part of the brain that regulates behavior and impulse control. In heroin addicts, that part of the brain shrinks and becomes less dense. This is a brain scan from a teenager diagnosed with screen addiction. The damage and the effect on the brain is nearly identical.
Over and over again around the world, this is being shown. I want to reiterate over and over again, you did not know this. You've given your child these devices. You've gotten the relief from them, the devices keeping them occupied so that you can get your work done and have some relief. God's not angry at you, neither am I. You just didn't know this. Don't hate you, not mad at anyone. The desire is to see that reversed. Is that a good thing? So that the anger goes away, the tantrums, so that they can function with reading a book and be happy as opposed to having to have the screen. Most importantly, when we say it's time for church, they beat you to the car. Because we all, to a degree, have lost our sensitivity. I did at that big desk of mine, but I want to testify to you. I burned out, and I want to show you what that looks like with an animation I created to help you understand how the anger comes and how the numbness sets in. But I don't want to leave you constantly in a negative state because you're shocked at seeing this, because many of you are very honest at this moment, and you will send me emails perhaps. I get them all the time. Maybe you won't, but many do. And they say this constantly. You described my child. You described my child. You described my child. What am I going to do now? Well, we're going to show you what to do today, but especially tonight. How many of you are sitting here thinking of people that you wish were here hearing this right now? Raise your hands. Okay. Here's what you do. You work the phones today, but you pray first. You call them and you invite them. Offer to pick them up. Tell them you're going to take them for coffee, but come by here first. Or better yet, have coffee here. It's really good. I'm serious. It's hard to get a good cup of coffee in this country. Coffee here has a South African influence that makes Starbucks taste like swamp water. That was a weak applause. I think we do better than that. So work the phones, but pray first, okay? And I'll promise you, I will love on those folks that you bring and provide solutions. I'll speak the truth, but we want to see these things reversed. And that's the point of this, not to beat people up. The three technologies that are used to measure this activity. And after I reveal this to you, I'll show you the brain animation that I created. It's EEG, which measures brain waves. You can tell a lot about the emotions with this. And MRIs, which the fMRI described with a helmet on. There's others, too. You can do eye tracking. We do this at the university in the Bureau of Market Research. Some of the banks and businesses come in, for example, and when they're testing their new logos or new marketing campaigns. We bring volunteers in, or they do. I'm pretty much dealing with digital addiction, but I'm the guinea pig sometimes when I'm there. And they hook you up to sweat response and your fingers with your heart rate and things like that, and even an EEG. And they show you a series of images of logos, and we can tell an awful lot about how people are thinking about your brand so that they can then revise things that don't produce as much interest. Do you understand where I'm coming from? There's an ethical issue with all of this, I believe. But the University of South Africa is not Christian, so I'm not sure. At least the people I work with are very ethical. Now, the third, well, I just described a third one, but third and fourth is this technology called SPECT, which is just an acronym that stands for single photon emission computed tomography. It's a deep brain scan that shows activity and, most importantly, the lack of activity. And this is a baseline of which you compare the other brains to, the damaged brains, the drugged brains, the digital brains, to see how far of a deviation from normal that you see. So in this case, that's the healthy brain. I want to show you the brain of a marijuana user. This is why they have slurred speech, slowness of thought, and it's why they say stupid things like, it doesn't bother me. They, like many of you, believe they're the exception to that. And they're not. That's why I can't wait for the portable scanner. Now, these are brain injuries from NFL football players who have a series of concussions. And they have a condition, many of them, called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Some of you saw the movie, probably Concussion, where Will Smith played the part of Dr. Bennett Omalu, a Nigerian forensic pathologist that discovered it. These are cocaine and meth brains. You can measure what's going on. But I want to show you this one. This is a heroin brain. But the worst one of all, outside of a direct brain injury that I showed you, is the porn brain. The drug didn't come in through a needle, in a vein, through the nose, or through the mouth. That drug went in through the eyes. And the brain had an instant reaction, and it changed. And it started to deteriorate the brain. You see, in chemical terms, what is happening with pornography as opposed to social media and video games, the brain is experiencing a polydrug effect. It's not just cocaine or heroin. It is the two mixed together. That's why it is easier to treat a heroin addict than it is a porn addict. Can you see that without being a neuroscientist? Can you see that? It is easier to treat a heroin addict than a porn addict. And that drug went in through the eyes and experienced a rapid change. The change is chemical, and it's also through neuroplasticity. It rewires. Now, I want to show you this brain animation. There's always one in the crowd. It's okay. Not mad at you. I used to get mad at them until I was on a national radio show and they said, Brad, so what's the latest with whatever? And I'm blathering on and mine goes off on national radio. So now I just say, let me give you a hug. But turn it off. Now, I created the brain animations based on Dr. Archibald Hart's work. The area in question here is this little area here in the middle of the brain. It's called the nucleus accumbens is the technical location, but for all intents and purposes, it's just the pleasure center. So when I was describing Hillbilly Country and I played the 911 call from emergency call from Hillbilly Country, what I was doing was using your eyes to deliver the drug, the dopamine, and your ears, your temporal lobe. And when you stimulate the brain, however the stimulation happens, whether it be through traditional drugs or digital drugs, the effect is the same. The brain in two other parts secretes dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter, the happy chemical. And I knew that I had successfully manipulated you with your eyes and your ears because I heard you laughing without even touching you physically. I used a screen to do it. And I used multimedia setup to do it, which is what we use all day with our devices, and we respond, and the brain responds, and the brain changes. It can be good. Neuroplasticity can work in your favor. Anybody familiar with Romans chapter 8, verse 12? Be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. To which I say to the neuroscientists, you are finally catching up with God. You have not discovered anything new. The Creator is instructing you. You just discovered something about Him. So, that wall. See that wall that grew gradually? That wall is a dopaminergic barrier. Let's just call it the dopamine barrier. Now look, if there are doctors here, you're cringing. It doesn't have a wall like that. Stop being so punctiliar. It's a chemical barrier around it. But because I speak to children who get this, I had to keep it simple. So I created a little wall so that our little friends can get it. And they do, don't they, Pastor? And that wall grows and grows. The more dopamine we hit that area with, the more that grows. Because what that is a natural defense mechanism of the brain, similar to antibodies when you get a virus or a bacteria. In this case, it's a chemical reaction in the brain, filtering out and pushing out all of the extra dopamine. The brain needs some, but when you get too much, it stresses the brain excessively, and the brain is trying to defend itself, and it's sending you and me a message. Not limit this, not do less or be balanced. It's telling you to stop completely. But we don't, because if we put the phone down, we have stress and anxiety, particularly if a notification comes through. I'm being very serious. Tonight I'll show you a research project that I've designed for the lab next year, or this year. I keep thinking it's 2018. Man, time flies, doesn't it? But anyway, cortisol, which is a stress hormone, keeps the body in a state of fight or flight. And over time, that changes the brain. You have a chemical imbalance. And the only way to get relief is to pick the phone back up. Do you know what I'm saying? Is this making sense to you? So you get relief, put it down, anxiety builds, you got to pick it up. And it puts us into a vicious cycle. Thank you. I have an amen person. Now, the wall gets bigger, but here's what happens. Eventually, the wall just gets really, really big. And that's where the numbness and the other symptoms start to get really, really bad. So as the wall grows, the three symptoms start to appear. The anger, the anxiety disorders, ADHD is up 800%. Most of it artificially created. And tonight we'll talk about detox, because in a relatively short period of time, for those who were not born with it, and very few are born with ADHD. You see, your brain, your child's brain is not missing Ritalin. Do you understand that? You're artificially messing it up, really. But getting that wall down fixes most kids. And you can get that wall down. But the anger, the anxiety, and the numbness sets in, and the brain goes numb. And that is also traditional burnout. If you're an entrepreneur, you've worn too many hats, and one day you suddenly lose all your motivation and joy. You can function, but you just do it by an act of your will because you have to provide for your family, but you have lost your joy in what you're doing. That's what that is. Technology does it. Too much work does it, not enough play, not enough downtime, not enough relaxed time, all contributes to that. We never let the wall come down, and in children, it goes up very, very quickly, very quickly. And if you really want to know the truth, nobody knows the end result of this grand experiment known as the internet. The government of the United States has just funded with massive amounts of money a 20-year study to see the long-term effects of what I'm describing to you, because we already know this. And there's two modes of thought on how to deal with it. Most people say this: well, they haven't proven yet that it's harmful, so I will keep doing it. To which I say you should take the flip side. Until it's proven safe, you shouldn't do it. Do you see where I'm coming from? This is why it's a miracle I get to speak anywhere, because I take the other side of the coin. I'm not against it, but I have ethics behind me because I still like people and their well-being, both physically and especially spiritually. Let me just say one more thing about this. I'll give you some solutions, and I want to pray with you. I want to take your temperature. Do you still love me? I love you too. That was better than the first service. I didn't accept their applause. They were too slow. It was fake. But yours was genuine. I love you too. All right, two more things. I want to show you where the problem really begins. It's very subtle in this, well, actually the millennial generation is where it really started. How many of you can do this? Well, ladies, can you do it better than the men? Yeah. I don't know why the men don't fight back. It's like they're just quiet. Like, what's gone soft? You should rebel and go, I can do it better than you. Something. Actually, if you want to know the truth, nobody can do it. There's not one human being on earth that can do it. And I'm looking because I always do. And some of you are agreeing with me, but there's always females in particular. Not, no offense, but it's because females do believe. The word has gotten out for so many years that females can do this better than men. That's why I started it this way. That some of you are looking at me as if to say, I'm the exception. Okay, I'm going to give you a test. It's really simple. I'm not going to ask you to do the normal 5 or 6, 7 things that you normally do, just 2 at the same time. And for those of you who saw this last time I was here, I have bad news for you if you think you're going to get me this time. I changed the poem. Because I'm smarty, pants like that. Now, what I'm going to do is put a written poem on the screen. And at the same time, I'm going to play a second and different poem being read audibly. And I want you to pay attention to both at the same time. And then I'm going to give you a comprehension test to see how well you multitask. I thought I was saying, oh, no, you were all smug a minute ago. Come on, focus. It's funny in high school, you know what they do? The boys will go, I mean, I don't know what that is, but I'm like, hey, if that helps, do it. But you should rip your shirt off, too. I don't know. You ever seen people right before they fight, they rip their shirt off? What is that all about? I still haven't figured that one out. I mean, while they're ripping the shirt off, I'm going to take a punch. All right, ready? Please, rip the shirt off. All right. Everybody ready and focused? Here we go.
My bones worn out. My body failed me when I harbored my sins. I found no pleasure in things I did. The world became very bitter for me. But I knew that. You watched everything I did. I couldn't open up my heart to you. My sins weighed heavy on me.
That's it. Now, how many of you got 2 seconds into and said, nope, this is not happening? How many in 4 seconds you said, oh, forget it, I'm just going to pick one and do the best I can on this stupid test? And then how many of you picked the written one? It's because you're lazy. Now, here's the test. I don't want you to quote both poems in their entirety, as brief as they are. Every line is brief. I want to know who can quote just the first line of each poem. Anybody want to give it a go? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a certificate of participation. But you give her a big clap because at least she gave it a go. You still failed. Now, but we love you very much. The reason why no one gets it is because your brain can only do one thing at a time. It is a sequential processor. Now, for those who are a bit nerdy, any IT people here, computer people here, you know how if you have a multi-core processor, and we all do probably by now, and if you have threaded software, your computer can take one task, divide it up amongst those cores, and actually do all of it at the same time and rendering your project very quickly? Your brain and my brain ain't like that. Your brain and my brain has one core, one chip, no threads. It can only do one thing at a time. And so when you try to do multiple things, what you're actually doing is jumping from one to the other, and that act of jumping is causing the dopamine levels to spike off the charts, thus rendering you in an addictive state. And a chemical state very quickly, and you get addicted to it, so you can't put your phone down. Am I starting to make sense to you now? And so it starts very subtly. So if you leave a child who attends a school that requires them to have a device, they will sit down to do their math, and there have been studies as to how long a student studies before they grab that device. Anybody want to take a stab as to how long they study before they grab it? 2 minutes. And so they toggle. That's what it's called. It's called rapid toggling. And they spend an average of 20 to 25 minutes on that. And they're not totally irresponsible, and then they jump back. Dopamine levels decrease because math generates the proper amount of dopamine, but their brain needs this much because they have a wall. So what do? The brain says, why don't you just go to the next level of whatever happens to be popular at the moment? And you do it in your office too with Candy Crush and Pinterest and everything else. And so this causes them to spend actually very little time on their homework, but if you ask them, are you doing your homework, they can say yes. And they are, sort of. But they're spending the bulk of their time chasing dopamine. And that's why the grades, in part, are going down around the world. Am I making sense to you? So finally, the last thing that I want to show you is this before I pray with you. The spiritual ramifications of this are enormous. This numbness, no attention span. We have all over the world in Christian schools, youth groups. We have a current group of Generation Z who are raised under our care, but they know nothing of our God. Very little. Because we are no longer influencing them. Beth will oftentimes roam around with a zoom lens while I'm speaking. I was at Erskine College in South Carolina about a month ago, and she, as I was speaking to the university, she was up in the balcony, and about, I would estimate, honey, am I accurate, 70, 80% were on their phones the whole time? Because they don't have rules, because they're adults now, and they, you know, whatever. And so we have footage from all over the world in various contexts, business meetings. I spoke in the Drakensberg at a big education conference, and people flew in from multiple countries at great expense. And you know what a lot of them did the whole time I was speaking? They were WhatsApping and Facebooking. But if you were to ask them, can you multitask? You know what they would say? Oh, yeah, yeah. But if I were to test them, they wouldn't be able to do it. So in this particular case, I was in a church. I had just been called to the podium, and already Beth was locked in on this guy. And when I play that in schools, the children scream out the name of that game without me asking them to. Halfway through the message, Beth had moved to a different part of the church, and she's filming this. And this went on the entire time. This lady here looks annoyed. I think it's really making her angry, it looks like it. But they're just going at it. Whatever they're doing, they're happy. This guy's asleep. And I want you to understand this. We see this all over the world in massive numbers. The children under our care are no longer being discipled and mentored by us. They are being transformed by the culture through their devices while they're under our care. And I showed you just now a microcosm of a massively big problem that is global. And your children are not the exception. So what do we do? I want to leave you with some solutions, and I want to do it by giving you a worldview. Sort of like a biblical worldview. It's Dr. Howard Hendricks. I really love this. It's biblical in its principle. If you are not thinking correctly, you're not living correctly, what you believe will determine how you behave. If you want to fix this problem, how many of you want to fix this problem? Then what we do is think correctly about this instead of the lines that we've been fed by the media and wherever else. What I have done, let me back this up a little bit. I've aggregated the most common excuses that I get or phrases that people tell me to justify their usage from around the world, and I translate them based on neuroscience. People say to me often, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but the translation is I don't snort as much cocaine as I used to. I only allow my child screen time on Saturday if he has been good. Translation, if my child behaves during the week, I will allow him two lines of cocaine on Saturday. What I'm saying to you, family, is true. And it's the only thing that'll free you. This is how you have to think. I deleted Facebook from my phone. I hear that one. Translation, but I kept Twitter, Snapchat, Tinder, and other stuff that's none of your business. I only allow my child to play education video games and use education apps. Translation, my child is a genius. He can snort cocaine and do his math at the same time. Family, listen to me carefully. The number one thing that I hear is that I only allow my child to use this for educational purposes, which you're lying. I don't believe anybody that's ever said that. I believe you do allow them to use it for educational purposes, but you allow them to use it for a whole lot of other stuff too. But the notion that the education apps and gamification and education is not addictive, like, say, Fortnite, is a myth. The brain is not distinguishing content and filtering for you. It's a machine, and it simply responds with dopamine regardless of the content on that screen. So you have to think correctly about this one. I limit my child's screen time. This is the one I hear the most. Translation, I limit the amount of cocaine and heroin that my child consumes. I give it to them, but I'm a good parent. I limit it. And I'm not trying to upset you. I'm not trying to make you mad. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? How many of you want the wall to come down? Well, let's stand up and let's pray about it. Can we do that?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.